Chapter 23. The next day, Lexi sat at one of the small cafe tables outside the Cup and Cake. Sparks of sun danced on the waterfall across the street. The smell of fresh water mingled with the scent of the extra dark roast coffee steaming out of her cup. The street was empty. The soft rush of the fall soothed her. Across the street, sparrows swooped low from the branches of the nearby maple tree to snatch the crumbs left behind by the summer tourists. The mug warmed her palms as she lifted it to her lips, her taste buds welcoming the slightly bitter tang of the coffee. Everything seemed perfect and peaceful, except for her current task. She felt closer to Jack now than she ever had after her near brush with death. Still, she needed to get all her fears and concerns out once and for all. Talking seemed to be an issue between them lately, so the written word seemed best. Her note to her husband sat on the table before her, setting her already frazzled nerves even more on edge. She'd hoped that solving the Sherman-Wilson murder case would ease the persistent tension between them, but, if anything, Jack had only been acting even more strangely since Myra's arrest. There was still something he wasn't telling her. The phone in her pocket buzzed, and she pulled it out to see Jack's text still shining brightly on screen. "Be home at 6 p.m. sharp. We need to talk." She sighed and laid the phone on the table beside her note, staring down at the paper without really seeing it. Lexi was so distracted by all the turmoil with her husband, it took a moment for her to realize that Ruth's Oldsmobile was approaching from the end of the street. As the vehicle neared, Lexi spotted Ruth's curly white hair barely rising above the massive dashboard, her white-gloved hands clutching the steering wheel tight at the 10 and 2. Ruth veered toward the curb, causing the front tire to bump up and over the barrier to stop on the sidewalk. Several nearby pedestrians scattered to avoid the oncoming car, alarmed. Thankfully, Ruth's top speed was only about 5 miles per hour, so it wasn't hard to get out of her way. Lexi chuckled and slipped the letter into her pocket as the huge boat of a car finally came to a halt in front of the bakery and the ladies got out. Ida took a deep breath and grinned. "Nothing like solving a murder to put some pep in a gal's step." "Yes." Nans leaned in to give Lexi a kiss on the cheek as they made their way inside the bakery. "I think we proved ourselves quite clever with this case." "What can I get you ladies today?" Lexi followed them in and moved behind the counter. Cassie was on a break, saying she had some errands to run. "We've got some lovely caramel swirl brownies on special, and also a fresh batch of croissants still warm from the oven."
"Oh, a brownie for me, please," Helen said.
"Yes, I think I'll have one of those too, dear," Nans agreed, pulling out her wallet from her handbag. "You know, I still can't understand why that husband of yours won't listen to me more, dear, especially when Jack knows that I'm usually right."
Laughter burst from the other ladies.
"Typical man," Ruth said, ordering a croissant for herself. "They never listen or admit they're wrong."
"So true."
Ida chose a croissant as well, and Lexi rang them all up. Once everyone had paid, they walked back outside to sit at the table again. Ida sat across from Lexi.
"Did Jack figure out how Stan the storage man was involved in all this?"
Lexi nodded. Turns out Stan was running a chop shop out of one of his units. He had a gang of local thugs who would steal cars in the area, then drive them to the storage facility. Once they got them inside the unit, the vehicles were dismantled and sold for parts. Apparently, they used a titanium drill exactly like the one Myra had of Joe's.
"Makes sense," Helen said. "Since those cut through metal, doesn't matter if that metal is a car or a coin."
Jack was happy, too, because he got to make 2 arrests yesterday. Lexi forced a smile. There was a time when just being with her had made Jack happy, too.
After they booked in Myra at the station, he drove out to Stan's place and arrested him, too. Turns out, he'd lied about his alibi because he didn't want to admit he was at the facility to chop up another stolen car the night Sherman Wilson was murdered.
Perfect, Ruth said. Serves that awful Stan right.
Also true, Ida agreed.
And we can take partial credit for helping Jack with that case as well, Nan said, sipping her tea. Two more successes for the Ladies' Detective Club.
I have to say, that was really clever of you, Lexi said to her grandmother, pretending you had the $4 million coin and throwing it into the woods like that to distract Myra.
Hmm. Nance gave a small smile. I do my best, dear.
Ida swallowed her last bite of croissant, gaze narrowed.
The coin was fake, wasn't it?
Nance laughed.
Of course.
Ruth dabbed her mouth with a napkin, her bright red lipstick barely smudged.
I do wonder what ever happened to the real coin, though. Nunzio never mentioned it to me while we were together, and now it seems to have vanished off the face of the earth.
Eh, Nan shrugged.
I'm sure it will turn up someday. I'm just happy we solved another case.
No one got hurt, either, Helen added. That's always a good thing.
True yet again.
Ida stretched out her hand and they all high-fived.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Once they'd all finished their treats, the ladies returned to Ruth's car while Lexi collected their trash and tidied up.
We need to get back to the retirement center, dear. Bingo's at 3 today, and Ruth and Helen both have hair appointments at the salon. See you later, and be sure to give Jack a kiss for me.
Lexi waved as the ladies drove away and took her seat again. Her note still sat there as if mocking her. Nans and her friends were so excited and enthusiastic about solving their mysteries. It made Lexi sad to think she wouldn't be able to join them in their escapades anymore. But a promise was a promise, and as much as she loved being with the ladies, she loved Jack more. And if giving up solving cases would help save her marriage, then so be it. Jack meant more to her than anything else. She started writing again, putting it all down on paper, her promise not to join the ladies anymore, her commitment to their marriage, how much she loved him, all of it. Maybe this letter would show Jack how much she cared and how determined she was to save their life together. All she could do now was hope. It wasn't too little, too late.